Now call to order the Metropolitan Transportation Commission meeting of April 22nd, 2015. Let me ask the secretary to confirm the quorum.
Confirming quorum.
Thank you. For the record, we do have a quorum. I'm going to ask that we take a moment of silence this morning and that we adjourn today's meeting in memoriam, in memory of Will Barnes, Commissioner Julie Pierce's father, who passed away peacefully at home on April 16th. He would have been 91 years old this June. He leaves behind two daughters, a son-in-law, and four grandchildren. Our sincere condolences go out to Commissioner Pierce and her entire family. And now for a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Item 3 is the Policy Advisory Council report. The council, as I understand it, did not meet. Therefore, there won't be a formal report this month. A reminder, the council will have its annual work plan meeting with the commission on May 27th, immediately after our regularly scheduled commission meetings. So please mark your calendars, May 27th, make that adjustment, and please confirm your attendance with Pam Grove. Item 4 is the Executive Director's Report, I believe. Mr. Hemmiger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, good morning. On personnel changes, I usually don't dwell on these. This is a big place, and people come and go. But I wanted to mention two of them in particular under promotions, Kimberly Ward and Martha Silver, who are both over there. We have reorganized how we're going to be handling the committees around here, and in part that's to deal with our paperless future. And as I look around the dais, I see quite a few have already made that transition. Some of you, like me, are perhaps in the midst of it. So I think at the end of our agenda today, we've got a little work that Nick is going to be doing, our IT director, with you on getting all of us up to the same speed on that. So I just wanted to draw your attention to that, and one of the things that is changing all around us, and we're going to try to change along with it. Under the summary of events, there aren't many of them, so I'll just mention a word or two about all of them. There was a Commonwealth Club event at the end of March about two recent reports that covered the subject that is a perennial here in the Bay Area, and that is, why do we have so many transit agencies, and is there something we can do about that? The interesting thing, I think, is the pairing of these two reports. The first one was from a national organization, the Eno Transportation Foundation, and it, in fact, was quite complementary of the role that MTC plays in trying to coordinate the activities of these various enterprises, not only the work we do with things like Clipper, but all of the financial work we do to try to encourage greater coordination. The local report from SPUR, I think, was more critical, not only of MTC, but of others, in not doing enough to promote coordination among our various transit systems. So what I'd like to suggest is that we're going to bring to you at a future committee meeting a little bit more detail about what these reports said and perhaps some next steps that the commission could take in continuing to try to lead on this subject. And in the meantime, I've included the links in my report and encourage you to pursue those reports and read them as you will. On the second page, one leadership change I think that was unexpected, which is the departure of David Armijo from AC Transit as their general manager. They have now retained Kathleen Kelly as sort of a very high-ranking temporary employee who will run the show for a while. Kathleen has had a very long career in our region. She's worked at all three of the large agencies, Muni, BART, and AC Transit. And, in fact, I think she fulfilled this capacity for LAFTA before they found their director. So she may have found a little niche in the employment market in terms of subbing for transit general managers when one comes and one goes. I'd like to thank several of you, including the chairman, for participating in this event, the Stand Up for Transportation event. I was out of town, but by all appearances in the video record, it was quite successful. And again, it's part of trying to keep the pressure up on Congress to do something. And on that subject, you know, time is fleeing, and the current bill expires at the end of May. So I think there is absolutely no chance in the world that they are going to pass a long-term bill in the next month. But they will have to pass something to keep it going. And I think the only question now is whether they're going to pass something to get them through the summer or to get them through the fiscal year or to get them through the calendar year. Those are sort of your options. So July or October or December. And obviously the longer they extend the current program, the more money they have to find in the general fund to keep bailing out the Highway Trust Fund, which is inadequate. There's a letter in your packet also on the same subject, a letter from a series of local government advocacy organizations, the Conference of Mayors, AMPO, and others, which I would also direct your attention to. And finally, the map of the month didn't quite turn out the way we were planning, but you can see it behind Rosie, and it's in your packet. And, you know, it shows that a lot of big cities have a lot of congestion. That's sort of a duh moment, right? But what I was trying to show you, and it should have been, I think, a map of the world instead of a map of the United States, because we're used to thinking of this as like our personal affliction. But if you look at the map of the U.S., what you will see is that L.A. is the most congested place in America, according to this survey, and we're number two. But L.A. is number 10 in the world, so they are world class when it comes to traffic congestion. We are, between us and San Jose, number 26 and number 51, so this is one of those times where you don't want to quite be world class, and we're not yet, at least. And if you really want to look at the top 1 through 9, it's all Asia and India. It's all the developing, rapidly developing economies in that part of the world who have really sort of gone through our crisis in a short-term period of time. In China in particular, it's a nation of first-time drivers. So when you think about it, their capacity-related congestion is very high because they have so many drivers coming on. But their incident-related congestion is stratospheric because they're running into each other all the time. So I just wanted to provide you some worldwide context for this issue that we struggle with and how it is not an American problem. It, in fact, is growing to be less and less of an American problem and more of an Asian one. And I think that concludes my report. I will mention, and I think you've all been alerted and are involved in the planning, that Plan Bay Area has workshops coming up in all 9 counties, and those start at the end of this month and run all the way through the end of next month. So however you look at the plan, whether good or bad, it's starting again. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the report? I've seen no requests to speak. We'll move to item 5, commissioner comments. Any requests to speak by commissioners under item 5? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 6, which is our consent calendar. We can entertain a motion on consent at this time.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Tissier, second by Geary. Any comments, questions, or modifications to the consent items? Seeing no requests to speak, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, that carries unanimously. We'll now move to our committee reports. Item 7 is the Administration Committee, and for that, let me call upon Commissioner Tissier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Administration Committee met on April 8, 2015, and referred the following item to the Commission for its approval. MTC Resolution Number 4183, which is a fiscal year 2015-16 overall work program. It's planning, certification, and authorization for execution of agreements for federal planning grants. The 2015 overall work program guides the collaborative metropolitan transportation planning process involving MTC, ABAG, Caltrans, and other local transportation partners, and the authorization to enter into agreements for $14.9 million in transportation planning funds. I move approval of MTC Resolution Number 4183.
Second.
We have a motion by Tissier, second by Campos. Any comment, questions on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, that carries unanimously. Move now to our Programming and Allocations Committee report. And for that, let me turn to Commissioner Wiener.
The Programming and Allocations Committee met on April 8, 2015, and there are two items before us today. MTC resolutions number 3880 revised, 3881 revised, and 4179 revised. They program approximately $60 million in Lifeline Transportation Program Cycle 4 funds, including the remaining $20 million in Proposition 1B funds, $31 million in state transit assistance funds, and $9 million in Section 5307 urbanized area job access and reverse commute funds. I move approval of these resolutions.
I'll second that.
Motion by Wiener, second by Rainworth. Comments or questions, discussion on the motion? Seeing no requests to speak, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, that carries unanimously.
And, Mr. Chairman, one additional item, MTC Resolution Number 4132, it revised, which updates the Cycle 1 Regional Active Transportation Program to account for project changes and updates the contingency list to add additional projects. So I move approval of this resolution.
Again, motion by Wiener on Resolution 4132. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Baker. Any comment on the motion? All in favor signify by aye.
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 Opposed, abstentions. Resolution number 4132 carries unanimously. We'll move on now to the report of the Planning Committee, and I understand Vice Chair Ann Halstead is going to give us that report.
Thank you. Unfortunately, Commissioner Sparing was not present, so here I am. Thank you very much. The MTC Planning Commission met on April 10, 2015. One item is before you today for action. MTC Resolution Number 4182 approves the committed projects and funds policy for Plan Bay Area 2040 to determine which projects are subject to a performance evaluation and or subject to discretionary action by the Commission, and determine which fund sources are subject to discretionary action by the Commission. I move approval of MTC Resolution 4182.
Motion by Halstead and the second by Kinsey. Discussion on the motion? Yes, Supervisor Haggerty.
Thank you, Steve. I just want to confirm, because we just had a conversation, and I certainly believe that your answer was more than adequate, but on the where it says that the projects need to be 100% funded, or actually have a 100% funding plan, your answer to me was that's a federal requirement and there's really nothing we can do about it?
Yes, it is, Commissioner, but I think it is important to draw a distinction. The funding has to be in a plan. It doesn't all have to be in your pocket,
right?
If I could put it that way. So that is generally how we've applied the federal requirement, and it requires some discretion in terms of plausibility. You know, anybody could make up a number and say, hey, I've got this. But if it's from an existing funding program and it's got a programming horizon that looks reasonable, that's the kind of thinking we go through when we try to comply with that requirement.
Okay. I just wanted to get that on the record, and I appreciate the answer, because I think I remember back when you took the initiative to start the tunnel under the Lake Elizabeth down in Fremont for the BART tunnel. I don't think we had a fully funded plan then, but what you did was great because you took a very bad construction period. You took the initiative to say, hey, let's do this section now, and you saved millions of dollars doing it. So I want to make sure that we're still flexible enough to be able to do
well,
that kind
of stuff. In that case, Commissioner, we segmented a project, which is one way you can deal with this requirement.
Yeah.
If you don't have the full project funded, you can segment it. San Jose, Santa Clara did that with the BART extension, and they're building the first phase
right
now.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure of that. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the motion? Seeing none, we have no public speakers on the item. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Resolution number 4182 passes unanimously. On to the Legislation Committee. I'll call on the chair of that committee, Commissioner Aguirre.
Thank you. The committee met on April 10th, and there are four items before us. And it's AB 156 and AB 1176 Perea and AB 1336 Salas. SB 760 Mendoza would seek to dedicate additional cap and trade funding to areas designated by the California Environmental Protection Agency as disadvantaged community pursuant to Cal Enviro Screens. I move to oppose AB 156, AB 1176 Perea, AB 1336 Salas, and SB 760 Mendoza.
This motion to oppose by Commissioner Aguirre. Is there a second?
Second.
A second by Commissioner Spearing. Further discussion on this item? All in favor signify by aye. Opposed? Abstentions? That carries unanimously. Commissioner?
Thank you. The next one is SB 344, Monning, would require commercial vehicles vehicle drivers to obtain state-approved training in order to receive a commercial driver's license. I move to support SB 344, Monning.
Motion to support. Is there a second? There's a second from Commissioner Bates. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? That carries unanimously.
The next is AB 194. Frazier would review the California Transportation Commission's ability to approve new express lanes and eliminate the cap on the total number of facilities CTC may approve. I move to support AB 194. Frazier.
I'll second that.
Motion to support by Aguirre, seconded by Rain Worth. Any further comment on the motion? All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? That carries unanimously.
And the last one is SB 773, Allen, would require the University of California to conduct a study into motor vehicle registration fraud to identify the scope of the problem and recommend potential solutions to address it. I move to support SB 773, Allen.
Motion to support by Aguirre. Is there a second? A second by Halstead. Further comment on the motion? Seeing none. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? SB 773 is supported unanimously. And I believe that concludes the Legislative Committee report. Thank you. Item 11 is our opportunity for public comment. Of course, this time is reserved for comment on items not on the agenda. I don't believe we receive any written requests to speak under public comment. Let me check with the Secretary on that. Okay, seeing none. We'll move on. We do have an item 12. I know that we're accustomed to adjourning at this point, but we have an item 12 to note on your agenda, Granicus training. Let me turn to
Commissioners Nick Rathel of our IT staff.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. The floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commission. I appreciate the chance to speak to you this morning. The purpose of my discussion with you this morning is to socialize the concept of electronic packets, which we will be going live with shortly here at the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, as well as the other committees that you all are a part of. So what I want to do is go through a very short presentation and then give you the opportunity to ask some questions. Some of those questions will inform what some of the next steps are with regard to how we provide training for you. So you do have a presentation in front of you in paper, one of the last few of those that you'll be getting, certainly from me. I'd like to say it's on purpose, but coincidentally today happens to be Earth Day, and we're going to be talking about paperless packets. So in short, what we're doing, we are transitioning from the paper packets that you receive for your committee and your commission materials to electronic version of those documents. We're also launching a web page that will be a little bit different from the one you're accustomed to on the MTC website that will give yourselves and the constituency access to the documents that you have to make decisions on the items that are brought before you. The other big change that I'll talk a little bit more about is action-only minutes. We are going to make a change to the format of how we issue minutes for our meetings, and then as a matter of course, we do have to discuss the concept of iPads for commissioners who are going to need them, although I see quite a few of them with some type of electronic device in front of you, so this might be a little bit easier. And then I want to talk about training. So a little bit of housekeeping items. There's a document in front of you today that my staff has issued. It's actually a survey. It's a document that's asking whether or not you need an iPad. I would ask that you fill that document out and you leave it at your place when you leave the meeting today. That lets us know how many folks we're actually going to be issuing MTC iPads to. They will be on loan to you. There is a loan agreement that will go with it. We'll be issuing those in the next two meeting sets that we have here. So again, if you would fill that out and just leave it behind. There's another question on that form. It's asking you whether or not you use what's called the iLegislate app. If you use it, you probably know. That's why we call it by name. If you don't, that's great too. You will be using it here at MTC. So what is it going to look like? As far as the actual, and this is small for a reason, because it doesn't fit on the page any better, but quite frankly, this is what the web page is going to look like, where the minutes and agendas are going to be found going forward. So when you go to the MTC website and you navigate to the meeting minutes or the meeting agendas, this is the page you'll see. It'll have a list of all of the committees and commission meetings that are upcoming. It'll also have links to meetings that have occurred that have minutes attached to them. Looking at a number of the municipalities or government agencies that you folks are all from, a majority of you already use the system we found, so you have something that already looks similar. So I think your constituency is going to be accustomed to seeing this. The big change is going to be for you folks, and that is when you use an iPad, you will use an iLegislate application. That app looks like the one that is up on the screen right now, and that is also in your presentation packet. It's very basic. It's text-driven. When you click on an item, and these items match exactly what the agenda looks like, you're going to navigate to the documents that you need to make the decision. So everything you have in your paper packet now will be included on that electronic app that we give you. There are also tools that allow you to notate, highlight, things of that nature that you would do on paper. So that's a big change right there. The other item that I want to talk to you about, and it really isn't so much something that I can show you, but something that needs to be talked about, is the concept of how the minutes are going to be published after the meeting. So right now we audiocast our meetings. That will, of course, continue. When we do the minutes for the upcoming meetings, there's going to be a link for each item. When you click that link, it'll take you directly to the segment of audio where the item was discussed. That segment of audio under this plan becomes the actual public record. So our minutes, as far as the verbiage that's typed into the actual document that's issued, those minutes will contain the motion, the motioner, the seconder, and the vote by roll call, or by name, rather. So you'll see who actually voted. Now, what that means is there will be no dialogue as far as what was discussed. That dialogue will be contained via audio. So that's a big change to how we're doing minutes. So the last piece is just how the agendas look. If you were to print an agenda, which I don't necessarily recommend, it's a little bit counterproductive, but if you were to print it, it's going to look a little bit different. Right now, the format is shown up here. It's going to have our logo. It's going to have the name of the meeting, the date of the meeting, the location of the meeting, and the agenda. So it's a very keep-it-simple type of format for the agenda. And it is the required verbiage that we do need on those agendas. Why are we doing this? Of course, to reduce paper and supplies associated with printing all of the documents that we do print. I do want to say we will still be printing some packets for the public, those folks who do come here and don't necessarily have access to the technology. We are also improving public access to the meeting materials because the web page that you would use as a public meeting viewer is going to have some additional abilities, like the ability to go directly to the materials that we're talking about. So it's better indexed, and it also, once the minutes are distributed, you'll have the direct access to the audio of where the discussion came up, so that there will be direct context as far as what actually happened and not an interpretation. As far as the timeline, I'm talking to you today to orient you to find out whether or not you need an iPad. The 13th and the 15th, we'll be distributing iPads to folks that need them, or we'll be setting up the iPads that you are planning to bring and use in the meetings. May 27th is the official go-live, as we call it. That's when we will be issuing the paperless packets for you via that iPad app. You can also get to it with other devices. I keep talking about the iPad, but if you have a laptop, you're also able to get to that packet that way. June, we're going to give you paper and electronic packets. And July, we are going to abolish paper for these packets. So with that, what I'd like to do is find out if you have any questions and do my best to answer those.
Yes, Julie?
Our transportation authority recently went to Granicus and is using similar stuff, but I don't think we actually are using the iLegislate for our agendas yet. Many of us use an iAnnotate. Is that the same company? I think that's Granicus too, is that not? And that allows us to take notes on the agendas, or does this application allow us to take notes within it?
The application actually allows you to take notes.
Okay.
So it is different from the iAnnotate app.
Well, iAnnotate lets you take notes on it. I can write a dissertation and notes all over, and it indexes my notes, and I can pull that up and say I have notes on page XYZ and just punch them, and they come right up. So hopefully this is similar. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, Commissioner Rainworth?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for that presentation. And I just had a couple of questions following up on Commissioner Pierce. First of all, currently on our written packets, we have the body making the approval. So if it's committee approval, it indicates committee approval. It's commission approval, it indicates that. So will that information still be available? That's the thing, because it's currently on the online version. It currently isn't there. It's on the print version. Second of all, what is the technology relative to people who don't have access to an iPad, whether it's members of the public or anybody else? Will there be that same ability to access all the documents, make the annotation, go do those kinds of things? And I guess thirdly, I'm a little bit confused about the minutes. So at each meeting, we approve the preceding minutes, and we do so by reading a record. So really, we're just approving what's there. So now, given what you're suggesting, it sounds like commissioners then will be listening to all the audio to be able to enable them to approve the minutes. How will that work out?
So question one with regard to what the recommended approval is, that will be contained within the agenda as it is in the written version now, and it will also appear on the website version. So there will be a standardization there, so it'll appear on both. With regard to the second question, which can you remind me of that again? What was the
second question focuses on?
Oh, the technology.
Technology. In other words, there's a lot of reference here saying that this is iPad-specific technology, and a lot of members of the public or commissioners use other electronic tools to access.
Right. So the iPad has a specific app that's geared for commissioners. However, there is also a public website that will have all of that same information that is available on a laptop.
Okay.
Or any other internet-enabled device that has a browser on it, and it will have the same information. So again, that's that standardization between what you get in what is now the printed version versus what we put out publicly. That's where the improvement comes in with what we're actually providing to the public, which you can also use on the device you have in front of you in a Mac. And then the third question, I think I may
maybe I could help out on the minutes, Commissioner, because we've evolved on that. We used to have very sketchy minutes around here when I first started, and we, in fact, got some criticism from the public that, gee, we can't really tell what you did. And so I think probably, if anything, we've gone overboard now. And so now when you read our minutes for committees especially, you get like a story that goes on for pages and pages. Frankly, I think we're overdoing it. So the idea here is just to get back to minutes that summarize the action taken. And if anyone really wants to get into it, they can watch the video recording. And I think that's another important point to make. We're audio casting our meetings here, and we've done that for several years. At the new building, we'll be video casting. And we'll also have Wi-Fi stem to stern, so that will make it a lot easier, I think, for folks to follow meetings no matter where they are in the building. So that is our suggestion here, that we try to, again, streamline and not force people to grunt through 5 pages a minute. Frankly, I'd rather not have to read them all before we send them to you. And we limit it to the actions that are taken, and for those who want more, they can roll the video.
Great. So just to clarify then, what will happen is the committee or the commission will be taking action on the action minutes.
Correct.
So there will be a visual report as to what we're acting on, and then really the audio is sort of the backup. It's there. It will always be – it's embedded in it, but the action is on the action minutes themselves.
Yeah, and Great. As it is today, we have audio casts of this commission dating back, God knows when, it's several years now, and we'll continue that archive.
Great. Great. Okay. Thanks.
Vice Chair McKenzie.
thank you very much. This is a quasi-legal question, I guess. This iPad here is the property of the City of Rohnert Park. It's provided to me to use iAnnotate and that sort of technology and to handle city email. Use it here, I guess one could argue, quasi-illegally. Don't report me to our city attorney, please. But I'm just wondering, what's the status of the MTC iPad? I guess we can't be watching our Netflix on it, or what's the legal deal if we accept an MTC iPad?
So the agreement that we have drawn up, that'll be the loaner agreement, does have a clause for incidental use of that device for personal purposes. Of course, the main intent is for the device to be used for MTC business. And what can't happen is things that are being done aside from its official purposes, it cannot conflict with what you need it to do.
Okay, I'm debating whether to request an MTC iPad. Clearly, that is the thrust of my question, in case there's any doubt.
Are you sort of asking a Hillary Clinton question? Should I have two devices or one?
That's an invidious comparison. So I'll be happy to hear what our council has to tell us.
Well, the only thing I would add to what Nick has said is that
part of the agreement that you will sign is an acknowledgement that you don't have any expectation of privacy as to what's on the iPad. So, you know, there's no privacy. I'd just like to point that out.
Okay. That's it. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mayor Schaaf?
Thank you. And just want to congratulate this as an advance of transparency and sunshine. But quick question, does the app have the capacity for multiple people to comment on the same document? So, for example, if we have staff that review things before we look at it, does it have that capability?
The system's really meant to be for a single user, so it doesn't have a collaboration function. So I think the short answer to your question is no. It's really meant for singular review. I think that where that ability would come in that you'd be looking for is more from the electronic packet that's actually on the website that would give you that ability.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Halston?
Just a process question. I just downloaded iLegislate and it asked for some details to sign on. Will you take us through that so that we do it correctly, or should we figure it out on our own?
May 13th and May 15th, we will agendize some more training just because we could have a quorum for it, and we'll take you through those processes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we will definitely walk you through what you need to be successful with this.
Thank you.
Yeah, back to Commissioner Pierce.
Yeah, just another thought. For those who maybe not are as technically advanced as we are, will there be the possibility that they could still download the complete agenda as one item rather than having to have Wi-Fi all the time? One of the things that I very much appreciate is being able to download an entire agenda, which I cannot do here, and having that so I can take it somewhere where I don't have Wi-Fi, because I don't have a phone plan on my iPad, nor do I intend to buy one. And so it would be very helpful for many people to be able to have that as something that is portable. And then just a second comment, it seems to me that if I had to have a separate iPad for each agency that I serve on, I would be carrying around a couple of bricks. And so I intend to keep my own, and then I can use it as I see fit.
So two items with that. First of all, and one thing I failed to mention is we actually have a person who will be assigned to work with you on different questions and technical needs that you may have. In fact, at the back of the room is Jess Thomas. He does our mobility support here at MTC, so he's going to be available to you. I believe, I'm going to put that precursor of, I believe that there is an offline option for the iLegislate app. The second point, as far as using your own iPad, one thing I do want to make clear is the data for iLegislate is contained within the app. So it's what we call containerized, another made-up word with a Z in it, but it's containerized so that in the event that you are no longer serving on the commission, you simply remove the app and the documents go away. The positive thing is the documents that we're giving you are public documents. So the risk, there really is no risk with using an iPad that doesn't belong to the agency to access what you're looking for.
Thank you. Commissioner Aguirre?
A couple of us have mentioned that we use the iAnnotate in most of our cities to do this. Can you give us, and I know you're going to give us training, is it pretty comparable? I mean, some of the things that we're able to do, I think, or is it going to be totally different?
I don't think I can give that a fair answer. Typically, the functions are pretty similar, but to say that with significant confidence, I wouldn't do.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, somebody has been using the iPad for about a year and a half with MTC agendas. I found the way we were doing it to be extremely friendly. I get the minutes part, and I realize that's different. But to just basically log on, go to agendas, punch agenda for the committee you're at, and it pops up and you can work with it. It's for somebody who's going to need your help. I didn't need your help for this, the way we're doing it now. So I kind of step into this with some trepidation.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just interrupt. Nick, could Commissioner Haggerty keep doing it? I mean, can't they just use the web to follow along if they're doing that already?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave.
Yeah. Vice Chair McKenzie.
Yeah. What size we got and how many gigs?
I don't have that available right now, but it would be the same size you have. It's not a mini.
Yeah, I got 16 from the city of Runner Park. I'm just always curious if I got more gigs than I might want to have the MPC.
Commissioner Speary.
Yeah, I just went on the MTCLegistar.com, and I was able to download it right into iAnnotate. So that's not going to change, is it?
You can continue to do that.
Yeah, okay, that's great. And it's a good format, so that's what I'm sure most of us are going to do. So that's great. Thank you.
I appreciate that feedback, too, and we'll take that back specific to the iAnnotate product that I'm hearing a lot of folks using.
Yeah. Commissioner Giacopini?
Just a quick scheduling question, and I may just have it wrong. I thought that our May Friday meeting was on the 8th, which is the second Friday. Has it moved to the 15th, or are we?
You are correct. So do not pay attention to that on my document.
So does that mean the trainings will be on the 8th and the 13th?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I've seen no other requests to speak on item 12. I'm sure we'll continue to make adjustments as we go along based on feedback that's provided, and we'll look forward to the training.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair.
If I might beg your indulgence, I was asleep at the train wheel when Commissioner Comments was whizzing by, and I very briefly, with your permission, would like to announce that the first smart trains have, in fact, been delivered to our railroad. They have, in fact, proceeded along the upgraded railroad track. They are currently housed, locomotives 101 and 102, at a temporary securely guarded facility at Fulton Road, north of Santa Rosa. We had a splendid welcoming ceremony to which we had distinguished representatives from the staff of MTC present, and myself as the vice chair. We had Congressman Thompson and Huffman and all sorts of dignitaries, and a grand time was had by all. This is one big locomotive. It stands 14 feet. It is quite impressive, and much to my great delight, since I'm on the board of SMART, I was able to actually ride the train, not in a fair operating mode, so I am not going to be thrown out of office immediately, but we did actually ride the train through the city of Roanoke Park and back on the reconstructed track. Very smooth ride, and on the new locomotives, very quiet ride, very elegant ride. So this is a good time for me, on behalf of the SMART Board of Directors, to thank all of the assistance that we have had from MTC and from staff to get us to that moment. It was a very proud moment for all of us who've labored over the last 20 years to make this a reality, and to see the train and to ride on it through my city. And, of course, you look into everybody's backyards, just as all of my constituents have complained. But I also found out you'd have to build 14 high feet fences if you were going to stop that. So anyway, Mr. Chair, I thank you for your indulgence, and I'm very pleased to make that announcement.
Thank you for the update. That brings us to adjournment. So we are now adjourned to Wednesday, May 27, 2015, at 9:35 a.m., again here at the Joseph P. Port Metro Center. Thank you.